So one other new thing that sounds pretty encouraging, radio labeled PSMA. What's the deal there? Sounds good. I know Oliver Sartor was talking about it. I know he's all excited about it. What's your take on it?
Yeah, so I'm glad to see that that approach is now subject to a phase 3 trial. Lutetium PSMA in a randomized phase 2 trial showed promising activity. So I think there's something real there. Whether that will translate into a true clinical meaning benefit ultimately, of course, is the subject of the phase 3 trial, and that's really the way that field will be moved forward. I believe PSMA is a good target. Whether that's the right warhead with lutetium or it should be something else remains to be determined. But there certainly that's one example of a variety of PSMA approaches that are being evaluated now. And so this is a very good time in the field. And it's attractive for patients in many ways because, you know, the dilemma of the two prior therapies we talked about is it really, you know, may benefit a relatively modest or small minority of patients in the case of DNA repair or mismatch repair. But here you're looking at, you know, the vast majority of patients, nearly something like 90% of patients are going to be PSMA positive, depending on how you would define that.
I was trying to think of other examples of radio-labeled therapy. So I guess you have that in thyroid, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I think that, well, they have it in low-grade lymphoma, although they never use it. I mean, do you see it? I work with you a long time, and I'm kind of reading a little skepticism. Am I hearing that from you?
Well, I think, you know, the longer I've done this, the more careful I've been about interpreting phase 2 data. And I look at the Australian data of lutetium PSMA is saying, you know, there's certainly enough signal there to say that this should be moved forward. I think I may have incorrectly described it as randomized phase 2, but the phase 2 data from Australia is compelling, and it moved the field forward because a lot of the earlier experience with this PSMA-targeted therapy had been more or less small case series or almost anecdotal data from Germany. So this was a prospective clinical trial that I think nicely defined the attributes of that product. And you do see responses in a substantial proportion of patients who had seen a variety of other therapies. So I think there's enough signal there to say this is something that should be moved forward to phase 3. But I would say, you know, as is the case for most phase 3 studies, it is far from certain that that observed clinical benefit in phase 2 will be sufficient to translate into a large enough clinical benefit in phase 3 to warrant routine use of the drug or approval of the drug.
Well, let me ask you, I mean, when you say, I guess, patients have responded, have they had imaging responses or just PSA?
Both. And I think one of the caveats, and not everyone may agree with this, but it sort of depends on what method of imaging you use. I think some of these dramatic anecdotes that you're seeing, and I think saw some of at this meeting, are if you use a PSMA PET scan as a pre-post assessment of a PSMA-targeted therapy, I would submit that it is possible that you may be overestimating the true clinical benefit of your therapy. And I'd be much more interested to see the results of sort of conventional intermediate endpoints like conventional imaging, PSA, CTCs, those sorts of things. And by those metrics, there certainly are responses in that Australian study that I referred to at a high enough proportion that you'd say, yeah, that is really something that should be moved to phase 3.
I don't know. I've got to say, you know, like kind of was thinking about ibrutinib versus chlorambucil for CLL. They did a phase 3 trial on that. And I'm like, really? Why? Why do they have to do a phase 3 trial on that? You gave ibrutinib. You see what happens. Why do you have to have a randomized trial? I kind of wonder, I mean, I don't know. Do you think if you have a novel agent like this that has relatively little toxicity, I mean, it may not be true of this agent, but, you know, for example, if 2/3 of the patients, the disease clearly got better and stayed better for a couple of years, which is kind of like what happens with ibrutinib, for example. I mean, do you really need a phase 3 trial?
It's my view that you do not uniformly need phase 3s. And it's, for example, why pembrolizumab is approved in a variety of cancers.
Right, that's true.
And why is that? Because you have a marker that can reliably, but not perfectly, predict response. And those responses are deep and durable, right? So this is a dramatic, dramatic outcome. I think we have to be a lot more circumspect when you're looking at, in the case of PSMA, more or less unselected patient population because the vast majority of patients are PSMA positive, and you have in middle level of response and at least to date, no indication that those responses are uniformly durable. So that's where my caution is coming in, not only about this agent, but you know any agent with similar kind of clinical data.